Today's shiur is dedicated for Refuah Shleimah for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim, Daf Yud Daled. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach at Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, at the Mishnah, the new Perek. The Mishnah begins with a discussion of a subject that we've discussed quite extensively in our shiurim already, and that is that a very valid manner of establishing a neder is through atfasa, connecting the nether to something else which one made a nether. And the Mishnah and the Gemara has taught us, as we will even learn today again in Mitzvah Shem, that hatfasa, for it to be considered a valid hatfasa, it has to be atfasa bedover hanoder, something which is prohibited because it was a man-made iser, not bedover osur, something which is osur from minashmayim. And says the Mishnah, Ve'elu Mitarim, the following Nadarim that we're going to discuss are Nadarim that are not valid Nadarim because the Hatfasa was not done in the proper manner. And the Ran and other Rishonim point out that why does the Mishnah have to begin with the words Ve'elu Mitarim? Because we're going to be learning in our Mishnah that there are Nadarim where Hatfasa was done improperly. But even though Hatfasa was done improperly, the nether, at least for Nama'aretz, at least under certain circumstances, is considered a nether midrabanan. And one, if one wants to not follow the nether, he has to be matted a nether. Teaches us the Mishnah that the first group of nedarim are that we're going to learn don't have that halacha, and the halacha is that it's these nedarim mutarim. However, I did see that the Tosfos Yontif is troubled with that pshat, because he says that the words of Elim Mutarim seem to indicate that one may make such a neder. And we learned, the Tosfos Yontif points out, on Daf Tes, that the opinion of our mayor is Toiva Shleitida Meshetida V'Leit Shalom, that the best is not to make nedarim at all. By saying ve'elu mutarim, even though we have the pshat that we just suggested that wants to differentiate between the different type of nedarim that are mentioned, still, isn't this somewhat misleading that would seem to indicate that it's appropriate to make a neder? And that's why there's some mefarshim that's explained that the reason the Mishnah starts with the words ve'elu mutarim, because the Masechta, the first parak began with the nedarim that one may not make. So to contrast with the nedarim that are considered valid nedarim, we say now, in contrast, that the nedarim mentioned here are nedarim which elim mitarim are not considered valid nedarim. So again, elim mitarim, if somebody says, chulan shaychalach, what I eat from you should be considered chulan, that... So what he's saying is, actually, that I should very much be allowed to eat what I have from you, and that's why it's considered not a neder. On the contrary, he's saying I should be allowed to eat it just like I'm allowed to eat chulin. If he said, kibasa chazir, and here the Gemara says, is the Mishnah is beginning to teach us, that something that is a dover asur, chazir, pork, obviously is meat that we may not eat, not because we decided that we may not eat it, but it's because the Torah says we may not eat it. That's called a davar ha'asr, and therefore, since it's considered a davar ha'asr, the halacha is that a neder where you will mattress with davar ha'asr, the halacha is that it's not a neder. And the Pashup Pshat explains the Ran, because what do you mean to say when you make hatfasa? When you mean to say hatfasa, you're saying that just like this object is asr, this should be asr. But the whatever I'm trying to say should be asr to me cannot be asr to me like chazir. Chazir, the Torah said I may not eat. And this food that I'm choosing not to eat is something that the Torah said I may not eat. And therefore, it's not, and it can't be connected to and be a valid hatfasa. If somebody said kavodes kechavim, that this should be like avodah zara, we know avodah zara is also b'hanah, It's not a valid way of expressing a neder. Ka'ovis levuvim. What they used to do is take an animal and make an incision by its heart, and they took out the heart while the animal was still alive and brought it to Avodah Zarah. And this is what's called takrovis Avodah Zarah. And the halach is that even though they only brought the heart as takrovis Avodah Zarah, the entire animal gets the halacha of takrovis Avodah Zarah. Kinevelis or treifus. Again, if somebody said that whatever he has in front of him should be also like nevelis and treifus. Nevelis and treifus, we know, are osur midaraisa, and therefore it's a hatfasa v'davar osur. Hatfasa v'davar osur is not considered a valid hatfasa. If somebody said that what I'm saying should be osur kechalas aron, like the challah that we separate from the dough and give it to the kohanim, or he says it could be like the truma that we give to the kohen. In these cases, mutar, again, it's mutar, because these are considered objects which are davar ha'asur, not davar, these are all considered davar ha'asur, not davar ha'nadar, and therefore they're not considered a valid expression of a neder. The Mefarshim point out that our Mishnah gave us a number of examples of davar ha'asur, and the Mefarshim point out that it was done in a very deliberate manner. First, we speak about Basach Hazir. Basach Hazir is only Osir Bachila. Then we speak about Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is not only Osir Bachila, it's also Osir Bahanah. Then we speak about Iris Levuvin, that the halach is that Avodah Zarah, although it's a very serious Isser, it's Osir Bahanah, but the halach is a goy can nullify an Avodah Zarah. But takruvis avodah zarah, even akum does not have the ability to be mevatel. So it's a higher level iser. Nevelis and treifis, that not only one may not eat nevelis and treifis, but they're also metame. Then the Mishnah mentions shkotshim mirmashim, which have a more serious iser than nevelis and treifis, because nevelis and treifis only give off tumma and the shear of a kazayis. Shkotzim and Ramashim give off tumma in the small shear of a kadash, the size of a lentil. And then the Mishnah mentions Chalav Arva Trumasa, that the halach is that they are also to certain Jews and not also to certain other Jews. And that's why it's considered more of an Isser. Others explain, as we're about to explain right now, that the question is, why is Chalas Aron Trumasai considered a Dover Osir? It should ought to be considered a Dover Hanodur, because let's think about it. How does a food get designated to be Chala? How does a food get designated to be Truma? By somebody separating off the Chala, by somebody separating off the Truma. So why is that considered a Dover Osir? It should be considered a Dover Hanodur. So explains Duran that that why it's considered a davar asur is that since it's only asur to Yisraelim and not to Kahanim, so it's obvious that it's not a davar anodr. Because something which is a davar anodr, if it's asur to anyone, I designate that it should be asur to. Here the Torah says to some people it's mutton, some people it's asur, that can't be considered a davar anodr. Another pshat that the Tosfos and the Rosh explain is that all food that you have to take off challah from, or you have to take truma off from, are tevel until you take it off. When you designate the truma, it's not that it becomes mutter. What it means is that while it was tevel, it was usher to everyone. And once you take off the truma, or you take off the challah, that becomes mutter to the kayin, and remains with the isser that the Yisrael had all along. And therefore, it's considered a Dover HaOsr, not a Dover HaOsr, not a Dover HaNodr. Another pshat that the Rambam suggests. The definition of a Dover HaNodr is something that I did because I wanted to do it. I decided that I wanted to donate, I wanted to make a neder. Challah and Truma and not something that I could have, that I have a choice. I have to do it. I have to take off Chal and Truma. And since it's something that I'm obligated to do, it can't be considered a Dover another. Another pshat that the Ravid suggests is that a definition of a Dover another, we always, whenever we want to give an example of a Dover another, the example of a Dover another is something that is that like a carbon. But Challah and Truma are not like a carbon. A carbon has much more restriction than, different restriction than Challah and Truma. And since it has these different types of restrictions, it cannot be considered a Dover another. In all these cases, the Neder is Mutter. And again, here too, the Rishonim point out, the Ran points out, that even though the Mishnah began already with the words V'elim Mutarim, why did the Mishnah have to repeat the word Mutter? Because we're about to learn that under certain circumstances, even though a Neder was expressed in a way that the Neder should not be considered a valid Neder, and therefore, but still, you have to be Matan Neder, teaches us the Mishnah that it's without any question that it's completely mutter. What is another case? Haimel Isha, if somebody says to his wife, Hare at olai ki'imai, you're going to be to me like my mother. And meaning to say, just like I may not have relations with my mother, I should not be allowed to have relations with you. The halach is, so the truth is, as we're learning in our shir, that should not be a valid expression of a neder, because imoy, the isser for one to have relations with his mother, is a dover osser, and we keep on saying that atfasa bedover osser is not a valid neder. Still teaches us the Mishnah. We don't just say that the neder is not a valid neder. We have to find a pesach, a way to be matter neder in makam echer. What does it mean by makam echer? Because when it comes, and we haven't even really spoken about this subject yet, when it comes to be matan neder, there are two ways to be matan neder. One way is charata, that the person has regret that he made the neder. That means he doesn't have, there's nothing inherently deficient in this neder. The person just regrets making the neder. A pesach, in other words, he says, I made this neder when I was angry. I made my neder without thinking. That's called a charata. A pesach means that there's an inherent deficiency in the neder. And the person says, well, if I would have recognized the repercussions of what I said, that I should have never made this neder. That's called a pesach. The halach is that when it comes to the being matter, a neder, it's not enough to say that I regret having said something like this. Even though that may be a valid way of being matan neder, here it's not sufficient. Even though normally, explains the Rosh, charata is sufficient to be matan neder, here you have to find an inherent deficiency. You have to find an inherent deficiency, or you have to find a real reason to be makel. Why? Because we don't want people to make these kind of nadarim. And there are many explanations given in the Rishonim why we're so machmi here. One explanation, which is the Ran gives, because people are more likely to get upset with the wives more than anyone else. And therefore, even though, of course, it's not the way one ought to behave, it's very possible that somebody's going to make a neder vis-a-vis his wife. And sometimes, unlike the case that our Mishnah discusses, but sometimes when he's going to express a neder that way, it will be expressed in a proper fashion. And it will be a good neder. In order to make sure that, in that case, you can't just ignore the neder. So Chazal said that whenever somebody's saying a neder vis-a-vis his wife, even if it was expressed in a way that is not an acceptable manner of expressing in the Dorim, it should not be considered null and void unless you have Hataras the Dorim. The Ritva explains, because Chazal were concerned about Shalom Bayis, So Chazal were more machmer with these nedarim. I think what the Ritva means to say is that if a person is going to realize that this neder is not so easy to get out of, he's not going to be so quick to make nedarim. Similar pshat is the Nemukah Yosef says that a person may think, because a person wants to reconcile with his wife, he's always going to look for an excuse to say that the neder I made is not really a good neder. And therefore, Chazal said just the opposite. Every neder you make vis-a-vis your wife is a neder that you're going to have to be concerned about. And like that, he won't be so quick to make nedarim against his wife. Another pshat, similar pshat, there's the Tosfos Red pshat. The Tosfos Red says that people are going to assume that Chazal, of course, did not want us to make nedarim against our wife. And if they're going to see that there was a neder made where somebody made a neder vis-a-vis his wife, and then Chazal told him, you don't have to worry about the neder, they're going to make the mistake to believe that any neder that's said by regarding a wife in any way, in any fashion that it is expressed in, is not a good neder. To make sure that nobody should make that mistake, that's why Chazal said that, on the contrary, every neder said about a wife is taken seriously. Tama, so the Mishnah began that somebody said, Chulin Shoy Chaloch, it's not a good neder. And says the Gemara why. Tama the Amah Chulin Shoy Chaloch, because he said that whatever I eat will be Chulin. Chulin, we know, is a Dover Hamutter. So since Chulin is a Dover Hamutter, this would be an example of Atfos of a Dover Hamutter. And atfasa b'davar amotor is certainly not considered atfasa. So if we learn pshat that way in the Mishnah, so if somebody would not just say chulin shaychalach, but if somebody said ha'omer l'chulin shaychalach, he added that lamed, what that seems to mean, loy l'chulin lahavi, what I'm eating from you should not be considered chulin, but rather what I'm eating from you should be considered like a carbon. And therefore, it would should be considered a valid neder. Only because I connected it to chulin, which chulin is a davar mutter, is it not a good neder? But if we said la chulin, which means loy chulin ela carbon, that loch is, it will be a good neder. Mani, masnisen. So ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're learning pshat in our Mishnah, so now ask the Gemara, mani masnisen, who is the tan of our Mishnah? Ira Meir. If we're going to want to suggest that it represents the opinion of Rameya, Halesle Mechlal Lav after Shmehein. As we've learned previously, Rameya doesn't agree with the concept of deducing Mechlal Lav after Shmehein and Mechlal Hein after Shmehein Lav. As we learned, Rameya's opinion is that every Tanai has to be like a Tanai B'nei Godem Nei Ruvein, that you have to say both sides of the equation. Nothing can be deduced by itself. So how can we say that if you said l'chulin, what you meant to say, it shouldn't be chulin, it should be carbon, and it should be valid nether. Reb Meir doesn't approach the darm that way. Ella, who are we going to have to say is the Tan of our Mishnah? We're going to have to say the Tan of our Mishnah is Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda doesn't require a Tanai Kofel. And the reason Reb Yehuda doesn't require Tanai Kofel is because he relies on Mechlal Lav at the Shemei Hain, Mechlal Hain at the Shemei Lav. But ask the Gemara, if that's what our Mishnah is coming to teach us, we've already learned that halacha and that Fiyot Amid Beis. Because the Mishnah over there says, L'chulin sh'aychalach, the halacha is it's a nether, and it's may not, and whatever you said is may not be eaten. And the Gemara explained the reason, the Tan of that Mishnah that says that that's a proper way of explaining the Mishnah is because it's Rabbi Yehuda. So as the Rishonim, the Ran, explains our Mishnah, if we would say our Mishnah represents the opinion of Rav Meir, then we would understand that the Mishnah on Daf Yud that said L'chulin sh'oichaloch, the neder is a valid neder, could that Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? And now our Mishnah is going to say that in this case, a person he'll agree that even though maybe we should say that it's not a nether, Rameya will agree that it's a nether. But if we're saying now that Rameya will continue saying that it's not a nether, so then it's just a repetition of what we learned from Rabbi Yehuda on Daf Yud. Answers the Gemara, correct. There is no big chiddush in this line of the Mishnah. But because either the Ktani, Kabasa Chavzira, Vezka Chavim, that those are not considered a valid hatfasa, because it's hatfasa b'davar asur, Lach Ktani Chulin, Shaykh Lach, that it's not a good nether, even though it's an obvious halacha. Ravina Amar, the Mishnah does begin with the halacha of Chulin Shaykh Lach, even though it's obvious that it's not a valid way of expressing the nether. Vach Tani, and this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Eilim Atarim, that when you are matfis and a dover asur, it's equivalent to my chulin. It's like being matfis and chulin. Just like it's obvious that if somebody is matfis, the chulin, it's not a valid nether. When somebody says kibasa chazir or kavayas kachavim, it's exactly the same. And explains Ravina. V'ilay Tana, had the Mishnah not begun with these introductory remarks, achul eichelach, that these nadarim, that when you say basa chazir, avayas kachavim, or the other examples that were cited in our Mishnah, have amina, we would think that it's not as weak of a nether as chulin eichelach. And we would think maybe that when somebody is matvis haneder in chulin, there it's totally meaningless nether. But if somebody is matvis in a dover osir, like basa chazir or avayas kachavim, it's not totally meaningless, and boy yishayla, that it should be, that you at least have to be mat and nether, teaches us our Mishnah that just like by chulin, it's a meaningless nether, and there's no need for ataras nadarim here too as well. Ask the Gemara, why would anybody think that way? I mean, can you say for, what was the second part of our Mishnah? The second part of our Mishnah was, that's where the Mishnah said, as we explained quite extensively, that's when you have to have Hataras Nadorim. Mechlal, the Reisha Leibai Shaila. So without the comparison to Chul and Eichelach, it's obvious that in the other cases of the first part of our Mishnah, there's no need for any type of Hataras Nadorim. Says the Gemara, we have to go back to our first explanation and we have to explain that indeed there is no chiddush in telling us that chulin shaychalach is not a valid expression of a nether. And the only reason it was cited in the Mishnah was Meila Naspa was mentioned because of the other halachas. Ask the Gemara. So we've been learning quite extensively in our Mishnah that hatfasa bedavar asur is not considered a valid hatfasa. Ask the Gemara, Menolon, how do we know that Atfasa Bedavar Anodar is not, Bedavar Asur is not considered a valid nether? And as the Ran explains, even though we've said has Svaris, why Atfasa Bedavar Asur is not considered a valid Atfasa, we would still maybe say, at the end of the day, something which is Asur is Asur. And that's what I'm trying to expect. That's why I'm expressing my nether that way. Maybe it should be a good nether. Answers the Gemara. Amakra, the pasuk says regarding the darim, ish ki yid a nether l'shem, o yishav eshvu l'esa Yisrael nafshoi, l'cha yachal dvar k'chol ha'yotzei p'v yasa. We learned from here, she'at she'idah b'ndavar ha'nodar. The Torah could have just said, explained the Rishonim. The Torah could have just said, ki yid a l'shem. Why did the Torah add the word nether l'shem? That to teach us that the halacha is that it has to be hatfasa bedavar hanader. And I saw that the Rishonim go on to say, even though we've learned in this Masechta that there's a concept of divrei Torah kol shebnei Adam, and maybe that's why the Torah expressed itself that way, ki yidoy neder, not because it's coming to teach us a limud. The limud is from the word lashem. That's certainly superfluous to teach us this halacha. And the Rishonim point out that we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis that the word Lashem comes to teach us a halacha that we've also expressed, that the Nedarim Achal even on Dvar Mitzvah Kedvar Rishus. That means if you make a Shvua to violate a Mitzvah, the Shvua is discounted. But if you make a Neder, the nether is valid. So we're using the pasuk for that purpose. So how can we say the word Lashem for that purpose? So how can we say that the word Lashem is coming to teach us the halacha of hatfasa bedover another and not bedover a mitzvah. So the Rishonim say, if the two limudim are both able to complement each other, then you can learn two limudim from one pasuk. Another pshat is that the Lashem is in between the words kiyida neder and, as we said, lo yachal dvarai. So we push the Lashem backwards and we push the Lashem forwards, and that's why we could have two limudim from the word Lashem. To teach us achiyida bedavar hanader. Ihachi, asked the Gemara, if that's the way we're learning, so ask the Gemara, Ihachi bedavar asur nami. So why, if you are matvis with davar asur, is the nether not a good nether? Haksiv le'es isra'la nafshay. And why don't we learn that less an isser to teach us that atfasa bedavar asur is also considered a valid nether? Answers the Gemara, less isser mebay lechretanya. We need the word less isser for a different purpose. To say, eza isra amav atayra, and as the Brisa teaches us, I won't eat meat or drink wine. We spoke about this earlier. Like the day my father passed away, the day my Rebbe passed away, that the Torah is teaching us that hatfasa is valid when it's said in the proper way. And you don't have to be matvis only in something that is usher to everybody, something, a carbon, which is usher to everybody. But even if you're matvis in something which is only usher to you, a yard sight only affects the person who has yard sight. The halach is, that's still considered a valid hatfasa. We learned in the Mishnah, there you should be matineder. Vermini, ask the Gemara, the Brisa teaches us, hareyat olai kibasa imai, kibasa achaisi, Ka'arlo kikale kreim loyama krum. So the Brisa is teaching us that you don't even need that Torah. Again, because the Brisa is presumably teaching us that since these are things that are dover ha'asur, it's not considered a nether under any circumstances. How do we reconcile that with our Mishnah? Amar Abaya. So Abaya answers what the Brisa means to say is, Layama klum midaraisa, that indeed midaraisa, it's not a valid hatfasa, but midrabanan, for the various reasons we learned in the Mishnah, tzarech shayla midrabanan. Rav Amar, the Rav says the way to reconcile the Mishnah with the Brisa, ha b'talmid chachamim, if a Talmid Chacham expresses another this way, it's meaningless. If Amaretz expresses another this way, we're going to have to be machmer. And the Ran explains that by Amaretz we're concerned that he's not going to be able to properly differentiate between what is considered a proper atfasa and an improper atfasa. And therefore, because of that consideration, that's why we have to be machmer by all the nedarim of Amaretz. The Rosh has a different explanation. Talmidei Chachamim aren't individuals who are lax in the Dorim. And since Talmidei Chachamim are not individuals who are lax in the Dorim, we don't have to make safeguards to make sure that they won't make a mistake. Whereas Amaratzim are lax in making the Dorim, and since they're lax in making the Dorim, we have to be strict with them. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, says Rabbi Yochanan, even in our Vatanya, asked the Gemara, so we're saying that if that's the halacha, that an Amaretz requires Hatar Sadarim, a Talmud Chacham does not. Vatanya says the Gemara, I'll bring you a raya to that concept. And as I saw, that the Tosfos and the Rosh explain that this Brisa is here to teach us where we see there's a difference between Talmid Chachamim and Amaratzim. The Brisa teaches us, Hanoida b'Torah. If somebody is Noida b'Torah, the halacha is lo yamaklum. That it's a meaningless nether. Because when he's Noida b'Torah, he doesn't mean that he's connecting to what it says in the Torah. It means that he's speaking about the parchment on which the Torah is written. And that's a meaningless statement. V'am Rabbi Yochanan, v'tzarech shayla l'chachem. You have to still be matan nether. V'am Rabbi Nachman, but Rabbi Nachman comments, even though Rabbi Yochanan just said that when a neder is expressed Hanoidu b'toyru, and many Rishonim learned it's actually a shvua, not a neder. You have to have hataras nedarim. That's only by an ama oritz. But says Rav Nachman, v'tamet chachem, ain't it tzarich shayla. A tamet chachem doesn't have to have hataras nedarim. So what do we see from here? That there's a precedent in halacha that there's a difference between the way Tamid Chacham are treated when they make a nether, which is not really a nether, versus the way Amaratzim are treated when they make a nether, which is not really a valid nether. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Hanoida B'Torah, so the Gemara delves back in to this halacha, Hanoida B'Torah, and as I said, most Rishonim explain that even though the Brisa is speaking about Hanoida B'Torah, we're really speaking about a Shvua, Loyama Klum. Because it's a meaningless nether. Because we say that what he's referring to is the klaf of the sefer Torah, and the klaf of a sefer Torah is not really meaningful. But if he said, and very much in line with the way we're learning, if when he expressed the shvua, he says b'mashik kosev ba, in the words of the Torah, they're the vayav kayamim. Because in the Torah, there's the Shem Hashem. And we've mentioned in previous shiurim that when you mention the Shem Hashem in a neder, in a shvuah, that becomes an automatic shvuah. Because the Shem Hashem is a way of making a neder. And really, this opens up a question. Here we're saying, B'mashe kosaba dvarim kiyomim. And the Rambam and Ravid, this dispute, is this only by Sefer Torah, or is it even Banach? The Rambam says it's only by Sefer Torah. And the Ravid says that it's by all Svarim of Knach. So if we say, explains the Rashba, that what makes this nether more of a nether, because you're referring to the Shem Hashem appears both in the Sifrei Torah and appears in the Nach. And that's why we understand the opinion of the Ravid. But if we're going to say that it refers to what it says in the Torah, so in the Torah we have the mitzvahs and averis. We don't have that necessarily in Nach. Says the Gemara, Ketani, the Braisa just said, as we discussed, if somebody expressed his nether, Shvua, by saying, B'mashe kosaba dvarav kiyomim, says the Gemara, Ba, it says Ba, and it says b'mashe kosu. Ask the Gemara if ba is a valid way of expressing the shvuah b'mashe kosu ba, which is much more expressive tzarich l'meima. So why do we have to have both as halachas? If the halacha is by ba, it's a valid shvuah. So by b'mashe kosu ba, it certainly should be a valid shvuah. Answers the Gemara Amar Nachman Kasha. Ha d'mach saraisa a'ara. When somebody said ba b'mashe kosu ba, is talking in a case where the Torah is not in his hand, it's laying on the floor. Of course, the Rishonim point out that it's not actually laying on the floor. What it means to say is, it's not being treated with all of the respect that the Torah has to have. Machsal ara, so when it's on the ground, datala gvile, he only means the Sefer Torah, he means the scroll. And therefore, unless he uses the words we don't have a good shvua. In the case, however, when Nokle Biyodei, where he's holding the Sefer Torah in his hand, there, even if he didn't say ba, he just said b'mashe kosaba, it's obvious he's showing this proper respect to the Sefer Torah, and therefore he means that skar shaba, and therefore the net shvua will be good at shvua. Vit vayseima, the machsal ara. The entire Brisa is referring to a case where the Sefer Torah is on the ground. And what is the Brisa teaching us? The Afagav the Machsal Ara, that even though the Sefer Torah is on the ground, therefore we may want to explain that what he means is not what it says in the Torah. Since he said B'mashe Kosaba, it's going to be a valid way of expressing the nether. If that's the case, so why do we have to say Ba? First, the Mishnah teaches us the lach ba, that that's a valid way of saying a nether. And if ba is a valid way of saying a nether, then certainly If he said ba'ab b'mashal kasabah, it's a valid way of expressing a neder. V'ibay say mekulam tziyasa nami. The entire second half of the brisa is with nakalei b'yadei, is when he's holding sefer Torah. V'akamashmon, the key in the nakalei b'yadei, that since he's holding sefer Torah in his hands, afagav d'loy amar ba, he didn't use the word ba'ab, it's ki'ila a big chiddush, that since you're holding it and you're showing the proper respect that you have to show to the Sefer Torah, then the halach is that shows that you mean what it says and not just the parchment. So this is the way to understand, to summarize the Gemara. If somebody's holding the Sefer Torah in his hand and he just said the word ba, according to the first teretz of the Gemara, it would not be a good shvuah. According to the second teretz, also wouldn't be a good shvuah. According to the third teretz, it would be a good shvuah. If he says with Masha Kosabah, so under all opinions, it's a good shvuah. And if he said, certainly if he said Ba over Masha Kosabah, then it's certainly a good shvuah. If he's not holding the Sefer Torah, and he only said Ba, then it's not a good shvuah. If he said B'Masha Kosabah, without holding the Sefer Torah, according to the first teretz, it's not a valid shvuah, and according to the second and third teretz, it is a good shvuah. If he said ba or b'mashe kasaba, even though he's not holding the Sefer Torah, certainly according to the second and third teretz, it would be a valid shvuah. Here, the Gemara introduced a new concept, and that the Gemara differentiated between somebody who's holding the Sefer Torah and somebody who is, the Sefer Torah is laying on the floor. And we learned that when you're holding the Sefer Torah, it's much more of an indication that you're taking this net, that you mean what it says in the Sefer Torah, rather when it's only laying on the floor. There's a discussion in the Paiskim, many times in Shabbos, Yontif, we have to take out two Sefer Torah. And while the first Sefer Torah is being read from, which is usually the primary Kriyas HaTorah, somebody has to hold that the second Sefer Torah. And it becomes difficult sometimes for people to hold the second Sefer Torah. Not only does it become difficult, he can't concentrate in listening to the Sefer Torah. So what some people do is that they create like a bench by the Bima, and there are two holes made there, and the Sefer Torah is inserted into the two holes. The Shas HaTshuva Das Sofer, Simen Chaf, seems to indicate that it's understandable why the shul would do so, and it seems that he holds that it's acceptable. Ramoshin, the Shas HaTshuva Igros Moshe, Oral Chaim, Chelek Aleph, Simen Lamed Ches, holds that one should not do so. He says that if it's difficult to find someone or to have someone hold the second Sefer Torah for the entire duration of the Kriyas HaTorah, it's better not to take out the two Sefer Torah when we do solve a Sefer Torah. Take out one Sefer Torah, and when we'll be up to reading the second Sefer Torah, then and only then, the halach is, will we take out the second Sefer Torah. Moreover, he says, if we would create this kind of a chair bench with the holes in it, all the people in the shul would not be allowed to sit. Because the only time people could sit is when the person who's holding the Sefer Torah is sitting. But this is not considered, says Rav Moshe, as if the Sefer Torah is being sat with. And therefore everybody would have to stand for that entire point. The question is, what according to Rav Moshe will be the halacha about all the tefillahs that we say when we take out the Sefer Torah, Brich Shemei, Vehi Ben Soya? What's the halacha? Because there's a question. If we're not going to say Brich Shemei, and we're not going to say Vehi Ben Soya when we take out the second Sefer Torah, then we have a new issue. We're being mezalzel in the Sefer Torah. We're being mezalzel in the Sefer Torah where in that saying these tefillahs when we're taking the Sefer Torah out. And therefore, I saw that the Chishuki Chemed suggests that what we should do is, even according to Rav Moshe, just having a chair, a bench, with these two holes is indeed considered a zilzal in the Sefer Torah, and it's not therefore considered an acceptable way of dealing with this issue. But if besides having this bench chair with the holes in which you would insert the Sefer Torah, you also put curtains around that Sefer Torah, that he suggests Rav Moshe would agree is not considered a zilzal in the Sefer Torah. And since Rav Moshe would agree that that's not considered a zilzal in the Sefer Torah, therefore the halacha is that that could be a valid approach how to deal with this issue.